Thousands of years ago, a young hatchling emerges bright-eyed from her egg sac. Her first act, to the satisfaction of her mother, is to devour each and every one of her fellow siblings. Already larger than any arachnid in her family line, her mother makes a fine after-dinner snack. Soon, the monstrous being that would come to be known as Xisticus, the terror of the appetite caves, perfects her hunting practices on the dim-witted, pale-orange, fish-like beings that frequent her recently inherited crystal cavern. Their pathetic, sharpened sticks and rocks are no match for the quick wit and sturdy carapace of the subterranean horror. After a long hunting season, she retires to her regular hibernation. The crash of the sky meteor led to an early awakening, and again Xisticus goes on the hunt. This time proves even easier than before, as the dense but tasty orange snacks are preoccupied with something within the new, expansive ocean neighboring her cavern. As the orange creatures work tirelessly to excavate and transport a mammoth-sized stone sarcophagus, she easily picks off stragglers one by one. Once she accumulates a stockpile of feed, she returns once again to her slumber. Some time later, she once again awakens to an uncomfortable rumbling in her abdominal segment, having depleted her reservoir. The tunnels are unfamiliar, and she finds her formerly easy prey much more formidable opponents. They now dress in shiny, hard material and poke her with shiny points that sting, even flinging smaller points at her directly. Some even hurl bright lights at her that singe and burn, and there are so many more of them. It proves much more difficult to feed, that Xisticus begins to starve. Wandering and starving through the crystal cavern, Xisticus is surprised by a group of orange snacks who manage to surround her. With little strength to fight, she does not accept defeat and lunges at her soon-to-be killers, but they do not engage. Instead, they surround her, and one of their warriors removes his chest coverings, revealing his delicious, pale orange flesh. He drops all hard pointy things, save for his smallest one, and approaches to fight. He's not like the others. His veins are black, and he has a purple aura about him. His companions chant all around her, "Thox! Thox! Thox!" But even in her weakened state, she makes quick work of the single fighter and cannot help but defeat her prey then and there. The orange snacks watch her feed, still chanting, and disperse from the cave. This becomes a regular occurrence. Sometimes she fights one with sharp pokers, sometimes with short sharp pokers. Another time, one with no poker at all hurls burning, scorching waves at her, but she bests him still. Then two, then three at a time. They almost manage to defeat her, but carefully she has been rebuilding her food supply. Retreating to a camp's secret hiding spot, she returns to her hibernation, hidden from her tormentors. Again, Xisticus awakens, but this time there are no orange creatures waiting for her, nor any wandering the hallways. A quick search through the twisting tunnels reveals a gargantuan, cavernous chamber where the orange snacks have all congregated. They live in hard walls with bright lights, so it proves difficult for her to sneak in. She is chased off by a team of the orange snacks and wanders away, hungry. Starving once again, she makes do with smaller creatures, rodents, frogs, and slithery things. But she longs for the taste of true meat. She hears rumbling in the crystal cavern among her labyrinth of webbing and goes to investigate.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
Last time on Questies, the old Questies were victorious in their epic battle with Xisticus, the teleporting terror of the Appetite Caves, as Yeltz pummeled their would-be devourer in a blind rage, and Kitty delivered the killing blow. Valna began her spell to learn more about their mysterious spidery attacker. I'm Garrett, the Dungeon Master, joined by Eno,
the esteemed paladin Turgid Glowerskell,
Ro,
Kitty Chlamydia, Elf Ranger, and her wolf companion Nibbles,
Jules,
Jeltz Gorny was war chief of the Subatide,
and Grady,
Barrel Broad Chest, Dwarf Bard.
And this is Questies!
In front of you is the mutilated corpse of Xisticus, in which you, Valna, has just cast her spell and seen the past, and you now stand within her lair of jutting gigantic crystals in every direction. There's a bit of smoldering fires surrounding you. What do you want to do next?
Well, I think it's time to eat.
Time to eat.
What kind of snacks did you bring?
I've got this iron pot filled with fish guys, spider eggs, and mushrooms.
Has it been simmering this whole time?
Yes, I've been burning spider webs under it.
Wow, I'm surprised.
You smell that?
Turgid hasn't chastised you for that yet.
He's been helping me gather the webs. Haven't you, Turgid? No?
I guess not.
It is very dangerous to have an open flame in a cave.
That may well be.
I guess not too much can catch on fire in a cave of crystals.
Except for the spider webs,
fool. It's also very dangerous to have undercooked meats.
Just then, the ground beneath you starts to quake and shake, and the crystals sort of clink against each other in this... it makes kind of like a wind chime sound in this cave.
Beautiful. I could write a song to this.
Well, this seems pretty urgent. Seems urgent enough for a short rest.
I'm kind of worried about those tremors. I don't know if I could rest right now.
They shake a couple more times, the tremors.
My front senses are tingling. Should we follow him?
Quickly, we better find a door to stand underneath or a table.
Yeah, get in the tub. Yeah, everyone into the pot. The big cast iron pot.
You don't want to get in that pot.
Yeah, put the fire out first, of course.
It goes in that pot. I eat it.
So do you want to take a short rest here? The rumbling subsides a little bit.
Will Valna allow it?
Oh, I guess Valna's with you, huh?
Yeah, she was chain smoking in the corner while we fought again.
There's like a cloud surrounding her at this point of smoke. Mm-hmm. And she says, "Dearie, that was quite the fright. Should we keep going? Maybe we should take a bit of a rest. It seems like Nibbles was almost cooked."
All right, let's take a short rest then.
Let's do it.
All right.
So Beryl will take out his pan flute and try to compose a song in the music of the crystal chimes. And in doing so, you all experience a song of rest and gain 6 HP.
Wow.
Yay. I also get all of my bardic inspiration points back, but I don't think I used any of those last time, because I forgot.
Do I get my spell slots back?
Not as a ranger in a short rest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I get my hit points back as an elf?
You can roll your hit die, and you probably just should get back to full health. Currently, Kitty has 63 out of 67 hit points, so if you want to roll one of those, you'll probably just get up to max.
4. Yep, directly to max.
Jeltz, are you back up to full, or are you just...
Yes, because of the inspiration.
What about you, Beryl? Are you back up to max?
Yep. I don't think I took any damage from that spider.
And Turgid, are you back up to max?
98 hit points.
98. Turgid has, like a bloody lip.
Turgid, do you need some disinfectant for that wound?
I have plenty, don't you worry.
So how's the soup? I taste it. I taste the soup.
Why don't you roll a nature check?
All right.
It's organic soup, I guess.
That's a 17.
It's damn good soup. Oh, baby, you got a stew brewing.
Now do a constitution check because of the mushrooms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot that there was the mushrooms in it.
There was also like a spider heart in there, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently with a 17, he knew what he was doing. That's some good soup. In fact, I'm going to say that when you eat the soup for the next hour, you get plus 5 feet to movement.
Oh, that's great.
Feed it to the wolf.
Speed soup.
Speed
soup. That's very good.
Come around and eat this soup, all of you. I made a whole pot of it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, friend.
All right, everybody's fucking fast as shit now.
Sick.
Should bottle this up as a potion.
I do have proficiency in brewer's supplies. Maybe we can...
make it a beer!
Yeah, we can make it more potent.
Should ferment it.
Speed beer. Are you going to make Four Loko?
We're gonna make Four Loko.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I mean, I think that if we were to list out what Four Loko is, it would be spider eggs and mushrooms.
Yeah.
And other cave garbage.
Fish people entrails.
I think we got the magic gland from that one fish.
Which is strange, because he was so slow.
All right. You spend an hour just hanging out in this spider's lair.
Are there any more rumbles?
There are not. But Valna is she's been writing all this down furiously in her tome, and she says,
"Nerd."
Yes, of course. Please, we must make haste and find friends and co. I'm so deeply worried about them. This cave seems much more dangerous than anything I've ever seen in my life. Shall we proceed?
Well, if this spider's been capturing creatures and eating them here, maybe we should check all of the nooks and crannies in its cave for treasure.
If you must, but please hurry.
Okay, I'll do it quickly. I rolled a nat 20.
Nat 20, I guess it doesn't matter on what. You find a skeleton of one of the fish guys, and it has 70... It looks like it's wearing fancier clothes than the rest, and has 70 of those clam shells.
Great, more toilet paper.
Mm.
Yeah, so now you're rich in clamshells.
Nice. Got 70 clams. Write that down.
Anyone else want to check out the area?
Well, this guy had a pretty hefty clam purse.
Turgid is, of course, inspecting for instabilities in the walls and the crystals and the faces, making sure that everything is, you know, whether this place is about to collapse or not, if it's up to code.
Yeah, why don't you roll an investigation check?
And this cave is not man-made, right?
No, it's natural formation for sure.
Okay, then I'm not going to... I don't know, do you think that the shield still looks like
helps that? Yeah, I think
like
the shield still works.
Okay, then that's plus proficiency is 13.
13. Actually, this place is a bit unsafe because of the rumblings, and you can tell that the rumbling's coming from somewhere pretty far, so you might want to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Friends, companions, compatriots, peers, colleagues, we must get out of here fast, but not too fast so that we shouldn't trip. In an orderly fashion. Follow me.
Yes.
No blundering on this trip.
I take up my bullseye lantern.
Okay, friendo. My front's senses are tingling.
Yes, Kitty, tell me where to go.
Roll a survival check, I believe with advantage.
Survival 17 plus 7, so 24.
Oh, just a 24.
Just 24.
All right, you successfully help your fellow comrades in your party navigate through this twisting tunnel appetite cavern. It's pretty dangerous. There's jutting random crystals that you have to climb through, and there's spider webs that you have to cut through. So it takes you a little while, but due to your...
Is this difficult terrain?
It is.
Well, difficult terrain doesn't slow the group's travel, thanks to me.
So your expertise, you're surprised at the incredible rate in which you can navigate through this cave, and you are thick on the trail of Franz and his research team, and you make it through and out of the Appetite Cavern that the Zisticus's lair was in, and through more tunnels. You probably are only traveling for half an hour or so, and as you curve through a narrow portion of the rock tunnels, the passage opens out below to a gargantuan clearing with walls approaching 400 feet tall. Water from beneath your feet trickles down a sheer drop to a large water basin that covers the cavern floor. However, in the center of this cavernous clearing, tall stone walls 80 feet high reach directly up and out of the water. In this raised area, a city is carved into the rock face, complete with walls, watchtowers, and intricate architecture for dwellings and shops. A tall staircase leads up from this water into the elevated cave city. On either side of the staircase, two statues, which resemble the subterranean fish creatures you've already encountered, stand facing each other at 150 feet tall. Each is adorned in armor and holding a polearm, and they are piercing one another through the heart, creating an archway above the entrance to the city. Between them, two imposing gate doors lie open.
It's a pretty cool picture.
Turgid immediately checks for the stonework of this city.
The stonework is a masterpiece, and it looks incredibly safe, in fact.
I have a good feeling about this place.
Sorry, I should have made you roll.
if it's like obvious enough.
It's very obviously a masterwork of like architecture and technology.
So it's alcoves that are carved into the side of the cliff face?
So it's a giant clearing where the floor is all covered in water, but inside the middle of this giant clearing is a city that's sort of elevated up. So it kind of has an underground moat around it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And is there any movement?
Why don't you do, I guess, a perception check?
I'm not...
Are there lights on? Can we see lights?
Eight!
You cannot see lights, nor can you see movement.
This city is abandoned. Let's run in.
Can I sense any aberrations or monstrosities here?
You can sense aberrations in the center of the city.
How many?
It feels like one large one, but it could also be a concentration of smaller ones. You can't really tell, which is odd.
I'd like to look closer at these giant statues.
Sure.
I'm looking to see if they're adorned with any gems or inlaid with any fine metals.
Okay. The pole arms that they're holding, I mean, these guys are 150 feet tall. They're enormous. So they're mostly made of stone, but you can see that the pole arm It, you know, is made of the rare metal unobtainium.
Love it.
Yes.
And Beryl, what are you looking for?
Well, these statues were clearly made with care from some fine craftsmen. I just want to glean some of the history of these people from them.
Sure.
As a dwarf, I have stone cunning. Ooh. So if whenever I do an intelligence history check related to the origin of stonework, I add double my proficiency.
Damn. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm adding plus 14 to this roll.
Sick.
Oh, which is good, because I rolled a 5.
Nice. Okay, so you got a 19, though. Yeah, so you look into your dwarven past as a master carvesmith of stone, and...
Carvesmith, you say?
Yeah, that's what my family has always called themselves.
And you notice... you observe that these creatures have more or less perfected carving. And for a species that seems cut off from the rest of civilization topside, they seem to have made leaps and bounds forward in terms of both technology and art. And you're very impressed by what you see. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to figure out, like, beyond that?
No, just the, I guess, like, a general culture of the people, but...
Violence. I would say violence.
Yeah, but, yeah, they're very provocative statues.
I'm going on a limb here and say that, yes, they look like they revere something in particular, and they look very violent.
Are there any beasts around?
What kind of beasts?
Any will do.
Use your imagination, darling.
I don't know, like frogs or... like, whatever cave-dwelling beasts the fish dudes would live around them.
I could have sworn I saw some cave crabs scuttling around.
Yeah, Beryl's right. You saw some cave crabs scuttling through underneath your feet. And also, if you look down deep into the moat that's down below the sheer drop, you can see there's trout swimming around in the water. Mm, regular trout. Not like...
underground trout.
Underground trout.
Cave trout.
Cave trouts.
I want to concentrate for a minute with some trout to get the numbers of the aberrations in the city.
Okay.
Since I can't tell if it's one or many.
So you can just like concentrate and then what do you do? Explain what you're doing.
It says, by spending one uninterrupted minute in concentration as if you are concentrating on a spell... you can sense whether any of your favored enemies are present within 5 miles of you. This feature reveals which of your favored enemies are present, their numbers, and the creature's general direction and distance in miles from you.
Okay. So within a mile, there is one massive aberration in the center of what looks like in the center of this city. And the trout, which it's an underground trout, so it's like completely white albino-looking trout. Kind of leads you up around, and you can kind of get a feeling of the layout of the city.
Impressive.
So as I was saying, this city is totally abandoned, and we can go in there freely and loot. There's no threat in that city at all.
Those statues seem to imply threat. Maybe non-dwarves can get stabbed through the chest better than dwarves.
No matter what we do, we must proceed carefully.
Let's hold our horses, maybe keep looking for our dear old pal, Franz, first, you know?
Yes, I'm so dreadfully worried about Franz. He's a very dear old friend of mine, and I think he's in that city ahead. What do you think, Kitty? Is he?
Should I roll?
Yeah, if you want to find out, then roll survival, because that's a tracking thing.
18 plus 7, so 25.
Oh yeah, Franz is there.
This way, friends!
Onward!
Onward, to safety.
All right.
To safety, Turgid says and does it in the front of the group. Once again, shield out. I'm starting to like you, Jouts. It was a little slow going at first, but...
yes.
I'm seeing that you are not all that different from me at the heart of it.
So you guys are... there's a sheer drop, remember, in front of you. So if you want to... you can jump in if you want. There's water below you.
Oh, so the... there's not a bridge.
Going fast enough, water surface tension causes it to feel like concrete. Do not jump into the water from a high height.
How big is the drop?
How wide is the moat? Yeah.
The moat is pretty wide, and you're going to have to swim across the rest of the way. And you're like in a hole in the wall, about, I'd say, like 60 feet up.
And how wide do we think it is? Like,
how deep, you mean?
How wide is the chasm?
Directly below you, it's just a sheer drop into water.
And then how far to the other side?
To the other side? Just like 200 feet of swimming or so?
Because some of us can't swim.
Can't swim at all.
Yes. We are greatly weighed down by our armor.
Turgid is holding about 400 pounds of metal right now. That is something to be aware of.
I mean,
Turgid essentially functions as an anchor.
I have the water breathing still counts. So if the moat's not too deep, we can just walk through the moat instead of swimming across.
Excellent.
But we still got to get the 60 feet down to it.
I jump off.
Wait, before she casts it?
I think she already had it cast.
Has it been 24 hours?
Oh, yeah. I guess you all have water breathing just right now. I guess you're right. All right. So you have water breathing. So you jump out?
Yep.
All right. I want you to do an athletics check.
Cannonball. 19.
All right. A perfect cannonball from Jelts. He splashes in the water and sinks immediately downward, probably about 40 feet under the... And hits the floor gently. Who else is coming?
Turgid takes out the knock, their 200-pound cast iron sledgehammer, enormous cast iron sledgehammer, and says, here goes nothing, and jumps off of... out of the hole and sort of like grabs the hammer, puts it down and sort of stands in it like you might a pogo stick and just goes straight down.
I cast feather fall on the hammer.
All right. I was going to make you check, but because feather fall was cast on this hammer in midair, you fall gently down at a speed of, I think it's like...
Well, hold on. The hammer has feather fall on it, but Turgid is really clumsy and has a -1 to dexterity.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
Turgid would not be able to hold on to that hammer.
Well, let's find out with an acrobatics check.
Turgid... got a 1 on that roll.
A 1, okay. Turgid slips off the hammer, which is falling at a very slow pace, and just hits their head on the way down and falls backward, reverse belly flop, into the water. Takes 2 points of bludgeoning damage.
All right, Beryl's going to try and jump onto the hammer and ride the hammer down.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, do an acrobatics check, I guess with advantage because it's moving slowly.
Okay. Plus 2, so it's 13.
Okay. You slip off a little bit when you grab onto it initially, but then you kind of have this hammer in both of your hands as Beryl just slowly glides down into the water.
Mary Poppins, bitch.
And so Valna and... Kitty are still up.
What size is Valna?
She's medium.
So she can't ride on Nibble's back?
No, she's about as tall as you. She's also an elf.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm just gonna ruffle Nibble's ears and kiss her on the forehead, and we're going to dive off together.
Okay.
So I rolled... What were we doing? Athletics? I got an 11... And Nibbles got 14.
14. Wow. Okay. Nibbles kind of puts you to shame with a front flip on her way down into the water and splashes in, and you kind of clumsily dive but make it. And
my foot slips as I go to dive.
Mm-hmm. And Valna is now all alone up there, and she's eaten by another spider.
What?
Yeah, rip Valna.
And now she turns into a book. The end. You guys did it.
Wow.
Wow.
And Valna is just going to... She's actually going to reach into her bag and pull out... Oh, man, this is stealing Grady's joke, though. No, I'm going to do it anyway. She pulls out an umbrella and she zaps it with some magic, jumps off, and just sort of, like, slowly falls down... while holding this umbrella. And around the umbrella are, like, intricate patterns of, like, octopi and other sea creatures. It's, like, decorated on top of her umbrella.
Sorry, it wasn't my joke. That's what Yondu yells in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he's holding onto his arrow and lowering himself down.
Well, I personally have never referenced pop culture before in this session, so I'm disappointed in you.
It's really weird and out of place. I'm sorry. Somebody wants to...
all right, so you're all in the water, either swimming or at the bottom. You can breathe underwater.
Mm-hmm. How's this water taste?
Turgid goes up to Beryl and does an unarmed melee attack at Beryl's head to slap him upside the head for being so unsafe.
Roll it.
That's gonna... let's see, what's the... Do you think the 24 will hit?
All right, yeah, you hit him.
It takes 5 damage.
Who's attacking me? Why?
Wow! Okay, yeah. Churchit just slapped you upside the head for being unsafe, apparently. Beryl.
Oh.
Would have killed a lesser man.
Take your gauntlet off next time you slap someone.
I was trying to go light. I actually rolled a 1 there, but my strength is +4, so...
You don't know your own strength, Turgid.
That is apparently the lightest touch that Turgid can do to somebody is hit them for 5 damage.
I'm like bleeding out my ear a little and I sit down.
Underwater?
Oh, right. I can breathe down here. It's fine.
We best watch out for sharks.
Do any trout come and try to eat the soup that spilled out of my pot when I landed in the water?
Yeah, I guess a couple do swim up. A couple albino trout.
Oh, they're going to get a speed boost.
They're going to be fast trout. No.
You have to tame them.
I want to stab one with my javelin.
Roll an attack.
10.
All right, you hit it. It's a trout. Doesn't have a huge AC.
All right. I eat it.
All right.
Just there, underwater, raw.
Yeah. Delicious cave sashimi.
Just going full golem on us.
All right, Jelts has some delicious sushi, and you can see underwater, I said about 200 feet ahead of you, is the staircase. It actually runs all the way down to the ground. These creatures seem amphibious, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
So are we. Oh, wait, the business is here also. I forgot about the business.
Oh, yeah. Business is following behind you after plunging in antler first.
I am totally 100% blind. I forgot.
All right. Jelts is walking in like the completely wrong direction of the staircase that I believe both...
Oh, I have dark vision, so I'll grab Jelts's hand and lead him forward in the right direction.
Turgid ties or like, grabs one of their ropes and gives the other end to Kitty to hold onto so they can Kitty can lead Turgid.
Cool.
All right, cool. Valna also has dark vision, and she's sort of leading the pack as well. And I guess, are you going towards the staircase?
Yes.
Okay, so you climb the staircase, and eventually you get above water. So I guess, Jelts, do you relight your torch?
Yes, it's a bullseye lantern, and I do light it.
Yeah, okay. Use prestidigitation to dry it. Now try and light it again.
I don't need your help, Beryl. I know how to light a lantern.
Turgid brought an oil lantern, so Turgid's going to turn it on.
Okay. You are approaching these super tall statues that are piercing each other through the heart and the open city gates. What do you do?
I suggest we move cautiously.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, Turgid is leading, shield drawn, lantern hanging from their shoulder pad, like their plate. On a spike on it, and a sword drawn at the ready.
Yeah, I'll have my longbow at the ready as I move forward.
Same.
So you traverse through the city, and it is completely dark, but it looks like there are lights. There's like street lights, street lamps that hold torches above them. If anybody was interested in lighting those, you could to sort of illuminate the city. And you can see this incredibly complex-looking coral city. It's stone, but it reminds you of the patterns of coral, and there's, like, multiple levels, and there's homes, there's shops, there's multi-level establishments, and it looks very intricate and decorated.
But nobody home?
Well, I guess, again, I won't make you roll for this, because you come across your first dead fish body, and it's lying on the ground, and its arm has been gnawed off, and it has been pierced through the back by several spears, and it's mangled on the ground.
Trouble's afoot, friends.
As you traverse further, you find more and more of these fish creatures that have been slain. And it reminds you of the scene that played out at Cadbury. Mm. Does anyone want to investigate any of the bodies? Or, what do you want
to
do?
I would like to investigate one of the bodies.
All right, roll an investigation check.
Five.
Five.
Natural one. Natural one.
Natural one.
Plus four.
Yeah. Can you do a constitution saving throw for me?
Oh, gosh. Yes, certainly. Can I use inspiration on saving throws?
You can use advantage whenever you roll a d20.
Let's do that. Plus 2 to 11 is 13.
All right. You get some Griphthox on your body, and it tries to sort of take you over. And you notice, even though you rolled so poorly, that this body has been infected by Griphthox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody get this crap off me. I use prestidigitation to get this crap off me.
Okay.
I should mention that you get plus one to saving throws if you're within 10 feet of me. Everybody stay close to me. Turgid will go and try to investigate cause of death.
Sure.
I think that's like a medicine check.
Yeah, medicine sounds good.
12?
They've been brutally murdered by what looks like other fish creatures, humanoids. Mm. They've kind of attacked each other. It seems to have played out in a very similar way to the Cadbury scene, in that they suddenly turned on each other.
It seems there's some sort of mind-altering substance here that is causing this chaos in this civilization that seems like otherwise would have peace and prosperity if not for the madness rending their very minds, flaying their psyches, tearing them apart from the inside out and against each other.
Is that what it's doing? Interesting.
Anything else people want to do?
I'm not going near it. That shit jumped at me.
Nibbles, don't touch that.
How long have we been going for?
I mean, you tell me. You just walked into the city and sort of found these things right
away.
I mean,
this entire expedition, like, are we...
I think you did one long rest, right?
No.
No, we did a short rest.
So you've done two short rests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd say maybe about 18 hours in.
I was going to say, we left her at like 1-ish. It's probably around 2:30 now.
Yeah. You've been wandering. We've kind of fist. It hasn't felt like it because you've been traversing through these caves a lot, going real deep underneath Dineria. And I'm kind of timing from the moment that you left Cadbury. So, it's about 18 hours, I'd say.
We should find shelter and rest until our wits are back about us. And we can proceed afresh in the morning, or whatever day time it is. Obviously, it has very little meaning in a cave.
Good idea.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of homes around you that you could maybe... Yeah. You
know, that we could Rooney hurrah?
Whatever that means, then yes.
Hmm? Yeltz, that was the word you used to mean pillage in your intro.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes.
We should find a large home so all of us can stay together and have each other's backs in case anything happens. Where's the nearest fish boy mansion?
Well, why don't you roll survival checks to see how well you can kind of figure out the layout of the city to find out the rich district.
I want to sleep in a bed that belonged to someone who made it really big as a DJ.
15.
I rolled 19 plus 7, so 26.
You find... Apparently, these fish people had an entourage that have a giant mansion, that like a Playboy mansion just for you.
Playfish mansion.
That's what it says, and it's like glowing neon. Everything else is off except this Playfish mansion sign, and that you have Playfish bunnies. Wait, Playfish frogs.
Playfish tadpoles.
Tadpoles. There we go. Gross.
Gross. Yes.
Just sexy tadpoles.
Sexy bearing tadpoles. It all. Tadpoles gone wild.
I love these sexy tadpoles. Let's sleep in that house with the sexy frogs and sexy tadpoles. It's been a long time since I got any.
Oh boy, the amount I want to throw like possessed sexy tadpoles at you right now. But
Kitty rolls her eyes at Valna and is like, gross.
Yes, indeed.
Is there an armory in this mansion?
Valna looks like really anxious to find Franz. So are you spending some of your long rest looking for an armory?
I mean, I'm going to just walk around this
mansion. Walk around until you find
it. Are you going to jump around a bunch, just jumping until you find the armory?
Jump around the mansion. That's light activity for me.
Yeah, you find like an armory, but it's like it's not super stocked up. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for stuff I just forgot to bring, you know? Like the harpoon, what are those fish weapons? Tridents?
Yeah, tridents. You find some throwing tridents, which are just like javelins, and they have the same stats as javelins, but they look like little Poseidon tridents. You find five of them, and then you find like a bunch of like crappy fake samurai swords and stuff like that. These guys didn't have very good taste.
Are there any arrows?
Yeah, there's plenty of arrows, though.
Cool. I'm just going to restock.
And I want a bunch of rope and chains.
Sex swing.
Mirrors.
Is there a lava lamp?
You do find a sex swing with pink rope.
How many feet of rope is that? Of pink rope?
It's two bouts of 10 feet of pink rope.
I take it.
And, there's also a couple lava lamps of differing colors in the room. And a jacuzzi.
Turgid gets in the jacuzzi.
All right. It's a very comfortable jacuzzi.
Good.
Turgid gets a hit point back.
Great.
I go to sleep.
Okay. Just like on the floor. Do you just say that and fall over?
Yeah. I throw out my sopping wet bedroll and just lie down on it.
I dry it for you.
I don't need your help, Daryl.
You're welcome.
Get out of here.
All right. Valna begins her meditation for 4 hours and says, and she says to you, dear, would you like to go in shifts so we can keep an eye out? It's a spooky city after all.
Yeah. I'll take first watch, Valna, so you get some rest.
All right. And she just sort of sits and meditates like elves do, which is really creepy.
I'll take second watch. Good night.
Do I get my spell slots back?
You get everything back when you're long rest.
I had that same question, and that is awesome to get all those back.
I am at full resource. My rages are back.
Oh, good. That's healthy.
Throughout the night, you feel some slight tremors, but finally, after 8 hours exactly, the mansion you're all residing in, after a fairly uneventful night, rumbles incredibly violently, and a couple of the lava lamps fall off and break on the ground, and the jacuzzi starts splashing back and forth, and
the lava burning through the hole, like burning a hole through the floor?
Yeah,
these are magical lava lamps, right? With real lava.
Yeah. They are, just like alien blood from aliens.
Oh boy.
Naturally.
Well, gang, we better get the fuck out of here.
Why in the name of OSHA did they make these?
That's a good question, Beryl. I am furious right now. OSHA, why have you forsaken these people? Do we still have a speed shroom soup effect, or are we done with that now?
That's done.
I'm glad we put that to good use.
Let's just say that because of the speed, you were able to get through, and Valna was a little less worried about needing to take that long rest before you continue to search the city.
Okay.
Shut up, Valna.
Please, it's my friend. We're searching for him. That's the whole purpose of this expedition.
All right. I'm going to go to the door and start smelling the air and like letting it like run through my fingers and whatever I do to like get a sense for where Franz is and be like, this way.
Do you smell the air with your tongue like a snake?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you can, I guess, roll another survival check to track him.
Kitty, what does your elf tongue see?
9 plus 7, so 16.
It looks like you can kind of feel that the faint taste on the air of Franz is in the center of the city.
I can taste Franz's sweaty ass in the city center.
Wow.
Yes, let us go lick that ass.
Sally forth, everyone.
All right, so how are you navigating through this city?
Turgid is riding atop the business, leading the charge.
Okay. Are you trying to be stealthy? Or are you trying to be...
Turgid is not trying to be stealthy. Turgid is wearing plate armor. Turgid is not stealthy. Okay. Turgid is wearing plate armor and is clumsy with a -1/2. Like, that's part of my flaws in my character sheet, is Turgid is really clumsy and also has a -1 to dexterity.
there's basically no way for Turgid to sneak.
Yeah, I'm going along trying to be sneaky and sort of giving like a stink eye over at the loudness and keeping my longbow ready and like looking around for threats as we travel through.
Okay.
Kitty, you should take the high road, go along the rooftops and watch us so that you can surprise anybody if we should be ambushed.
I'll let Turgid draw the distraction and just try to sneak closer to the sides of the buildings.
Oh yeah, stealth dwarf, great.
I don't have a huge stealth advantage, but...
He's good at everything.
Yep.
Check of all trades.
Yeah, I have a minimum of +2 to anything.
So I'm guessing it's a Jelts and Turgid, like, lumbering side by side, holding just like, literally just chains. And pots and pans and a 200-pound sledgehammer and, like, whatever else that we're holding.
Some pink rope.
Clanking through the city.
Yeah, Valna's staying with you in the center.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
I guess Kitty is on the rooftop, sort of jumping from place to place. How are you seeing, just with your... Are you lighting any of the torches as you go by?
Me, no, because I'm not trying to, like, lead a path to us.
I've got my bullseye lantern lit.
Yeah, Turgid has their lantern lit as
and
well.
And Nibbles is walking protectively next to Velda.
All right, so you guys are traveling through this city. Once again, the ground beneath you shakes, and there's another minor earthquake. You'll kind of struggle to stay upright. Finally, you arrive at the center of the city, and the centerpiece of the cavernous city is a gigantic colosseum carved from stalagmites jutting up from the ground that form the supports. The tops of the colosseum walls are attached via stalactites to the cave ceiling. The colosseum has seen heavy use. Every surface is battle-worn and well-trodden. Well, you can see the pathway leading up to this Colosseum. Do you want to proceed into it, or what do you want to do?
I want to try to scope it out more from the outside to see what's going on inside before approaching.
Sure. Roll a perception check to see if you can get up high enough to sort of view this thing.
4 + 7, so 11.
You can't see into it very well, even with your dark vision, because you can't find a good vantage point to see inside of it, but it seems just as abandoned as the rest of the city.
Okay.
And also, you're getting, like, a sense that Franz is near.
Gang, I can sense Franz. We should head in. And, yeah. Longbow yeah. drawn, I'm gonna head on in.
How large is this Colosseum in feet?
It's about 110 feet across by 80 feet wide. It's directly in front of you, and there are two doors that have been battered down, so you can just walk directly into the center of it.
Okay. Turgid will go, weapons drawn, into the threshold of the doors, and right after they cross the threshold, they'll use Divine Sense to detect... until the end of my next turn, I know the location of any celestial, fiend, or undead within 60 feet of me that is not behind total cover. And I know the type of any being whose presence I sense, but not its identity. And I can also detect any place or object that has been consecrated or desecrated, as with the Hallow spell.
So what you do find is that this place has absolutely been blessed, but not by any god you're familiar with. The priests of this area have determined that this Colosseum is a holy land for their religion, but you're just not familiar with their religion. And you do not feel right. the presence of any undead or fiends anywhere near you.
Or celestials?
Or celestials.
Other than the business?
Right. There's one directly below your crotch, and it's the business.
Yeah.
In the center of the Colosseum is a raised chalice where a purple glow emanates. And around you, the Colosseum looks like it's been destroyed, but relatively recently. The columns are collapsed, and there's rubble surrounding the Colosseum in general. And when you walk through the threshold of the door, lights, giant magical lights that are hovering above you all illuminate. It turns every corner of this Colosseum visible.
Oh, fuck.
Turgid does not feel the presence of any fiends or undead. They just don't feel the presence of anything or celestials besides one that they are riding. And yeah, Kitty does not feel the presence of any monstrosities. However, this place is frequented by monstrosities. You can catch their scent on the floor. And there is the intense feeling of an aberration in this area. But you don't know where it's coming from.
Turgid will look at the craftsmanship of this place to see how stable it is.
Yeah, why don't you roll an investigation check?
7.
Oof. All right, well, you can tell that this place was relatively sturdy, but now has been obviously destroyed by some kind of big attack. Some madness has occurred here. Mm-hmm. Specifically to your left, there's just a crumbled section of the cavern wall that has come down, and all four of the pillars holding this structure up have fallen over. But you don't really get the sense that they were necessarily structural.
They're just decorative.
They're a bit decorative, and they're also meant to hold the structure around the perimeter, which does hold stadium seating. And parts of that stadium seating have crumbled, but it doesn't look like it will affect the center of this Colosseum.
Okay. So I'm going to start wandering around being like, Franz! Franz! Where the fuck are you?
Valna is going to wander around as well. What else do you guys want to do? Well, Valna just like searches around while she sort of studies this area, and she's actually drawing sketches of this Colosseum in her book.
Turgid isn't loving the feeling they're getting here and is worried about Valna. So Turgid will cast Sanctuary on Valna.
Okay.
You ward a creature within range against attack until the spell ends. Any creature who targets a warded creature with an attack or a harmful spell must first make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature must choose a new target or lose the attacker spell. And it's a minute-long spell.
Great. Valna's going to put her hand on Turgid's shoulder and say, thank you. I appreciate everything you've done for me and the group.
Valna, old friend, be careful. I don't have a good feeling about this place. There's something off here.
I know what you mean. Look at there in the corner. There's a skeleton. Near the entrance is a skeleton propped up against a wall.
Yeah.
She's like, that's fucking weird.
Yes, it is. Turgid will cast protection from evil and good on themselves. Yeah, so that's one willing creature you touch is protected against certain types of creatures. Aberrations, celestials, elemental, fey, fiends, and undead. Creatures of those types have disadvantage on attack rolls against the target. It can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them. And then Turgid will approach the skeleton carefully and...
Okay. Is anyone else want to do anything in this moment?
I was going to investigate it, but I'm going to let Turgid do that.
Okay. Turgid, do you want to investigate the corpse?
Yeah, do the Turgid's good old-fashioned forensic detective work. Do a medicine.
Sure.
Try to see cause of death. 20 plus 4?
Wow, you got a nat 20.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a fish creature's skeleton, and its bones have been crushed. You notice that it has been dead for some time, and it was constricted to death.
Hmm, interesting.
By some kind of large beast.
I think we may be dealing with a giant snake.
Ew.
And I'm not just talking about jelts. Ha, ha, I kid, buddy.
I thought I had vicious mockery. Turgid, what were you detecting before? You seem to sense there's something here?
This is some sort of holy place where many rituals have taken place, and it has great importance. There seems to be something really fishy going on.
There's a massive aberration here that I can sense, but I can't see it. Maybe it's below us.
What?
Does anyone think it might be listening? Perhaps we could call it out in some way, rather than waiting here for it to get the jump on us.
Well, if we can just find Franz, we can get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I have a suspicious feeling we're going to have to fight that thing.
Franz, you fool! Come out from hiding!
Valna's gonna say, perhaps this little guy has some insight. And she's gonna kneel down next to the skeleton, and she's gonna prepare her divination spell.
Turgid will stand behind Valna, or next to Valna, and stand guard, and motion everybody to be careful or come over.
Okay, so everybody's gonna have a turn. Everybody roll a d20 to help her cast her spell.
She's focusing her spell on this skeleton.
Yes.
1.
13.
3.
8.
So up first is Beryl. Beryl, choose a skill and tell me how you help Valna cast a spell to figure out the life of this crushed skeleton in the corner. It seems to be adorned in battle gear as well.
Hey, look at this battle gear that it has on, Valna. You see the how it's inscribed in this way. I'm perceiving that this must have been used for a ceremonial battle, perhaps. Maybe this was a sacrifice rather than a willing fight. So yeah, I'm going to roll perception.
Very astute. Roll that perception roll.
I rolled a 10, so that adds up to 20.
Jesus Christ, you're the most perceptive little bastard. Jesus Christ,
how do you perceive that much?
I'm sharp.
I'm giving you 3 points for that.
I couldn't persuade the skeleton. I'm better at persuasion, but I wasn't sure how to work that one.
Fair enough. Up next is Kitty.
I guess I'll use my survival skills to try to understand more about what killed this guy.
You're trying to figure out the type of animal that that killed this thing?
Yeah, okay. And like how you could survive being attacked by it, maybe.
Sure, roll it. And while you do that, actually, Beryl, you decide from that this was a very holy sacrifice, and you let Valna know that information.
Certainly.
So that would be 8.
You get 1 point, and you determine that the wounds are the same as the wounds you see in smaller animals that have been constricted by a constrictor snake. And you let Valna know that. Up next is Jelts.
I'm going to look around for a small animal.
I guess you see a rat scuttling across.
All right, I'm going to use animal handling to try to get close to it.
Okay.
21.
Yeah, you do it.
Did you do this? Admit it. Admit it, rat. One of those shape-shifting snake rats, aren't you? I take it and throw it in the chalice in the center of the room. Admit it! I'll drown the rat. I'll drown it.
Okay, the rat gets covered in Gryphthox and is immediately overtaken with a sense of death and destruction. Jumps out and starts to attack you, Jelts.
You guys, I found the rat that did it. Look, it's attacking me.
It rolls an 18 attack. Does that hit you?
Yeah, that hits.
Right. Oh my god.
And it's going to do 5 points of piercing damage with its teeth.
Ow! Yes, this is definitely the rat that did it. It's crushing me. You see that? Crushing my bones.
And you get 1 research point.
But does he have to make a constitution saving throw for the Gryphthox?
Yes, you need to make a constitution saving throw.
I'm good at that. 13.
Yeah, you pass it. It gnaws into your flesh, but apparently this is normal for you, and you just sort of brush it off, and the Gryphthox you flick off of your forearm. But that was a close one, you guys. I guess this rat grabbed in your hand. What are you going to do with it next, Jelts?
Valna, look at this rat. Look at it.
Jelts, I don't know why I brought you sometimes. But somehow this helped me.
You want I should eat it, Valna?
Please don't eat it, but this does help me on some regard. It helps me understand the nature of savage beasts.
I'm glad I could help.
All right, so Turgid's up next.
I feel like Turgid kind of did all the things that Turgid would have done to help at this point and is just standing guard now.
I guess like maybe you could just roll a spellcasting modifier to sort of represent how you're protecting Valna while she's casting a spell.
Okay, yeah, sure. 22.
22, great, wow. Yeah, you get 2 points for that. Valna feels like kind of safe with you around protecting her because she's vulnerable while she casts this spell. It helps her concentrate to know that you're there to protect her from, because this is a scary place. So Valna finishes her spell and says her magic words, yabba dabba doo, and in front of you, a vision appears.
The Questies are Eno Exentiev, Andrew Limbong, Grady Olson, Jules, Rowe, and me, Garrett Gardner. New Questies theme by Eno Exentiev. Dungeon mastering, editing, and music by me. Check out Questies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @Questies Podcast, and visit our website at questies.cool.